Hey yo man, it's your time. And fuck poverty. Get this money, man.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Phil and Leroy the Judgmental Podcast.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy Phil.
And I'm Leroy. So, a couple of weeks ago, there was a shooting in Norristown. Norristown is here in Pennsylvania. Is that that's Montgomery County, right?
Yes.
It was a shooting where it was this guy on the street and he got robbed and shot. I looked at that news report and I said, something is going on there. Something ain't right. And lo and behold, I was right. So here's a report where his girlfriend is the one that set up the whole thing. Here's the report.
The Montgomery County woman is charged in the robbery and murder of her boyfriend. We've been following the deadly ambush of William Carter since it happened in Norristown on January 20th. Investigators say 29-year-old Catherine Emmel communicated with one of the suspects prior to Carter's murder. She reportedly, in it, that conversation confessed a motive for the violence, telling him that Carter had recently won $3,000, which authorities say she and her accomplices wanted to take. Emmel had a tracking vehicle, which Carter had been driving, and it was used to pinpoint his movements. The three attackers were waiting for him. Police say one of them later paid Emmel $700 for her deadly help. Her co-defendants were arrested in upstate New York last week.
The youngest one is the one that actually shot the guy. So the two older guys got the young dude to shoot the guy. Over $3,000 he won gambling. I'm assuming he would want it on the street or something like that. And she only got, so so it's $3,000. There's three people involved, the robbers, and then there's her. So you got to break her off. So they got $3,000.
He probably didn't win it in the streets. He probably won it on some other shit.
Okay,
if she was the only one that know, that means a lot of people didn't know. So he probably wanted on a scratch off or some shit like that.
Oh, okay, so but did he have the $3,000 in his pocket?
Yeah, he probably cashed it in.
You cash it in the store and get $3,000 in cash?
I did like $700. They got a limit.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They'll send it in the mail in the check.
Depending on how much it is. Hold on. She said it's $600 before you have to mail it in.
Yeah, unless the only way, that's why I thought it was on the street, or he wanted it at the casino.
Yeah, then he might have done it that way. Casino.
Right. Because why would he have $3,000 walking down the street in his pocket? Well, he just got out of the car and was walking in the house.
Yeah, so, the thing is, she had to be winning when he won, and he was all celebrating, and she was right there, and then she fucking set him up.
Okay, so we got $3,000, right? Now, let's just say he didn't spend it or anything. So, you know, they had to give her $700. Mm-hmm. So they only working on... I hate to laugh because it's somebody lost their life. So it's $2,300 they working on. So they split in 20... They killed the man, and they split in 2,300 between three people. And they kill somebody. Keep in mind,
for $700 a piece,
right?
A little more.
Now, keep in mind when you want to run like that, people don't understand when you do a crime and you want to run, you have to have some money on you because you got to have a place to stay, you got to eat, and if you stand with somebody, you got to break them off so they won't tell that you was there. So you like in a lose-lose situation for $700. You have got to be kidding,
idiots.
And well, you know, the police tracked them down through cell phones and all that stuff. They knew she was she was involved because she was talking to one of the guys on the phone or whatever. And they met somewhere on Broad Street. They met somewhere on Broad Street to do the money exchange. So the police knew that both of them, their cell phones was in the area and all that stuff. Smarten up when you do crimes, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, what they probably did was try to track down who was the last person seen with him. And it probably was her.
Mm-hmm.
And then first 48 all over again. As soon as you're going to jail unless you give us something. You're going to jail for life, you know what I mean, for the murder. And she said, all right, well, here, you know what I mean?
Yeah, she placed a GPS device in his trunk. So they say through cell phone records, police discovered that email had communicated with Allen multiple times before Carter's robbery and killing. She allegedly told Allen that the victim has recently won $3,000 by gambling. Then she provided the suspects with Carter's location, the GPS location. I swear, it don't make any sense. $700.
There's a lot of idiots in Norristown. Norristown used to be like one of the murder capitals of the world at one moment, or close to it, because they got some hood ass shit in Norristown. So they some ruthless, crazy people too. You know, when shit is fucked up and people poor, they'll do anything.
$700 ain't even enough to pay people's rent.
It was a joke.
Mm-hmm. Well, here we go. We got my baby again. My baby's becoming a third member of the Judgmental Podcast. We going to Dalton, Illinois. Dalton Mayor Tiffany Hainer is facing criticism over taxpayers' dollars and a wrongful termination lawsuit from the village former police chief, Robert Collins. So here's the first video. She's not going to make it till the end of the year.
Now developments in South Suburban Dalton. The mayor there is under fire, accused of questionable spending amid concern that the village's bills are not being paid.
The latest developments, Dalton's police cars may be repossessed because of some outstanding loans. Political reporter Marianne Ahern here now with the very latest for us. Marianne.
Alex and Marianne, good afternoon. Yes, Mayor Tiffany Henyard, she has dismissed the questions rather for months now on how she has spent taxpayer dollars. But adding to the city's troubles, the former police chief is suing the village, saying he was wrongfully terminated.
I am your leader.
At the most recent...
Did she fire him? I seriously doubt it. Did she walk over to him and say, you fired? See, I believe that the council people and whoever's really in charge of the money, they really don't like her like that. And they doing stuff... Well, you'll see in the next report.
Recent Dalton Village Board meeting, Mayor Tiffany Henyard berated several members on the Board of Trustees. It's been a months-long battle with various news agencies exposing how Henyard has spent thousands on travel and restaurants while the city's bills are not paid.
I have done a waterman job for City of Dalton. It's been over 4 months and I haven't got paid.
That's her fault.
4 months and you ain't get paid.
But that's her fault. She the one that's supposed to write you the check?
Nope.
Not the only one. Now there's concern six police cars will be repossessed because the city loans have not been paid. Another six cars from the Public Works Department have overdue loans too. Jason House is a village trustee.
I've received no less than 10 messages from different vendors every time. Well, he pocketing
money.
Yep.
He the one with all the bread in his hands. He the one pocketing the money.
Or they holding it like, look, I can't stand her. We'll just delay payment so it'll get out that they about to repossess these vehicles and that all the heat will be all on her.
Mayor's office, and it goes on. It really falls on deaf ears.
Other trustees are worried as well about Dalton's finances.
We don't even know how much money is in the bank account at the moment. When the last time they shared the information, a few months ago, we were $7 million in debt.
It is on the back of the mayor. We are the legislative body. She wants us to do our job because she say we don't never do our job. Our job is to make sure that the finances is in order, and she's not allowing us to do our job.
The town has paid for billboards to promote the mayor, who actually holds two political posts, making close to $300,000 a year. She's also the Thornton Township supervisor. The town has hired a public relations firm to handle questions during this crisis.
Public relations will get paid. A trip to first class flights to New York and to Las Vegas get paid.
Okay, who okayed this? Yeah. Did she just go into the account and say, hey, look, we going to, okay.
She say what she need and they send it to her.
Because that's a crime if she would do that, correct?
She wouldn't have access to it. It's somebody, right. Like, he's the one with the access. So he got to send that money where it need to go.
Right. So she said that I'm going to Las Vegas. And somebody had to okay it, which is the man you're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But some kind of way, this is her fault. See, that's why I said they don't like her. And they saying, like, look, we going to act like not paying and all that stuff. The man did the water job. He hasn't been paid in 4 months. We going to delay payment just so she can get in trouble. They have somebody in mind that they want to replace her with.
This Dalton County is a shit show, and everybody need to be fired from the top to the bottom.
But when it comes to things that the town really needs, we're left in the dark and getting people calling and getting no response.
We, of course, reached out to the Dalton mayor's team. They asked us to send them our questions ahead of time. They have not replied. Published reports say the attorney general has ordered the mayor to release her spending records. We are waiting and, of course, ask for those as well. Marion?
Now, the second one is the second report is they're going more in depth about the not paying the loan for the bank, and the bank is ready to possess the police vehicles. Here's the report.
More financial turmoil in South Suburban Dalton after a bank says the village failed to make a massive payment.
Yeah, the threat now, tow trucks could be arriving soon to repossess some village vehicles. And WGN's Courtney Spinelli is joining us live from Dalton with the latest. Courtney?
Miss Spinelli sounds like a high school teacher name.
Micah and Ray, some of those vehicles being threatened with repossession include Village of Dalton police cruisers and accessories that the village financed back in 2019, much like the one right behind me. Tonight, some Village of Dalton trustees and their legislative council are calling for answers and accountability.
There's no accountability.
In yet another shock to Village of Dalton trustees, a letter falling on their desks dated February 14th. Representatives from Kansas State Bank threatening to repossess.
Okay, now you see the letter here. Now, do you think the mayor got this letter? Like they specifically just sent it to her?
No, somebody opened it. Whoever in the, you know, the courthouse, whoever, they the ones that open the mail and you know, distribute it and do whatever.
Right.
13 village vehicles saying more than $76,000 is overdue and climbing.
The Board of Trustees approved payment in May of 2023.
But where?
Okay, so if you approved the payment damn near almost close to being a year ago, where's the money at? Why haven't them people been paid? So how is this the mayor's fault?
It sounds like she approved it and they didn't put the money to go that direction.
Right.
That loan payment went that was due 9 months ago is anyone's guess. Lawyers for the bank now warning the village, pay up or be ready for repossession agents to take the vehicles, which includes six police cruisers.
Well, the consequences initially are life-threatening.
A fear for public safety if means to respond to calls and emergencies is hindered. Seven other vehicles also facing repossession include six public works cars.
She can blame whoever she wants, but the board did their job back in May and authorized payment. She's blocking payment.
Legislative council.
Why she's blocking payment? There's got to be some type of reason.
So for the board.
Like you said, this whole thing is a mess and everybody needs to go from the top person all the way down to the lowest person. Need to let go and they need to bring somebody else in.
Trustees.
Because, well, like I say, I don't think she's going to make it till the end of the year.
Odelson is talking about Dalton's self-proclaimed super mayor, Tiffany Henger.
None of them do the things that we do here.
As unpaid bills by the village have come to light, WGN Investigates has uncovered exorbitant spending on lavish trips and experiences by Henger and her allies, including a trip to Vegas that cost more than $12,000 the same month the loan payment was due.
I have never, ever seen the abuse that this mayor is laying on the feet of her citizens, ever.
Village of Dalton trustees going head-to-head with Hengard at meetings, calling for transparency so residents know where taxpayer dollars are going.
We need receipts to understand what's going on.
They're in charge of overseeing finances, but say the mayor has restricted them from access to those, leaving them mostly in the dark. On top of that, several trustees telling WGN Thursday they're now hearing from vendors that say they were hired for work and never paid, more expenses the board was not aware of.
They have no idea what she's doing with the money.
And no clear answer whether agents will start taking village.
How was she in charge of the whole account? I'm confused.
Because she's not. I'm going to tell you what's going on, because she's spending a lot of money lavishly that somebody's okaying for her to get. There's other people on the back end doing the same shit, but she's going to catch heat of it. So they're trying to make, hey, she going down anyway. We're just going to blame her for everything like that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. She's not the one that's releasing the funds. That guy is, because he's in charge of it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Now, why is she blocking, quote unquote, blocking the trustees from seeing the account?
If it was already okay, she can't block it. Then it's got to be him.
Well, that's what they're saying, that she's blocking them. So they don't know what's going on. That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
Oh, so you think it's bullshit?
Yeah.
The vehicles as collateral for the unpaid bill. WGN reached out to a contact in the letter to the village who declined to comment.
They're coming. It's just a matter of time.
Now, he went by the village offices late this afternoon to try and speak with the mayor, but they were closed for the day. Board meetings are typically held on the first and third Monday of each month, but it appears there will not be another board meeting to hear about this topic potentially until at least March 6th. Reporting live in Dalton tonight, Courtney Spinelli, WGN News.
Yeah, she's not going to make it.
They've been at this for months now. So where is the federal investigation? Because it's been all over the news, all this shit, and they still haven't stepped in and investigated it.
Exactly. Well, this is coming up. This is going to be my second baby. We're going to Fulton County, Georgia, our favorite, where Fulton County DA Fannie Willis has evidently hearing on motions to dismiss her from the Georgia election suburban case based on allegations she and Nathan White, the special prosecutor she hired to lead the case, engaged in improper romantic relationships, which financially benefited her. So here's the first report.
People are on trial for trying to steal an election in 2020. I'm not on trial, no matter how hard you try to put me on trial.
Right now, a fiery District Attorney Fannie Willis speaking out in her defense as misconduct allegations crash in from all around her. For the past 2 hours now, DA Willis has fought back at attorneys representing the people that she's prosecuting in the Fulton County election interference case. Good evening. Thanks so much for joining us tonight for Fox 5 News at 5. I'm Tom Haynes.
I'm Courtney Bryant. Fox 5 I-Team reporter Randy Travis has been in the courtroom all day as attorneys have tried to prove the DA has had an inappropriate relationship with her special prosecutor. Randy, a lot of fireworks in that courtroom today.
Oh, sure were, Courtney. Yeah, keep in mind, Fannie Willis originally fought this subpoena. She did not want to testify, but around 3 o'clock this afternoon, she dropped her opposition and walked into the courtroom for an extraordinary showdown under oath with defense attorneys.
District Attorney Fannie, F-A-N-I, last name is Willis.
Rarely does a prosecutor in a criminal case get questioned under oath.
I don't think her name is pronounced. How she say it? Fannie? I think it's Fannie. Yeah.
By the defendant's attorneys. But it was clear long ago.
She's embarrassed by it. And, you know, she got a high powered job. So she don't want people calling her Fannie.
Election interference case against Donald Trump and 14 others now is no typical.
This is another example how everybody needs to let go and start fresh and new. This is another prime example right here.
Prosecution.
I object to you getting records. You've been intrusive into people's personal lives. You're confused. You think I'm on trial. These people are on trial for trying to steal an election in 2020. I'm not on trial, no matter how hard you try to put me on trial.
A defiant Fannie Willis testified she and Nathan Wade dated for about a year after she brought him in as a special prosecutor. But they've done nothing improper, she says, and she did not benefit financially from the relationship.
I'm going to say, because my marriage was irretrievably broken, I was free to have a relationship.
Wade testified his marriage was irretrievably broken in 2015, but he and his wife decided to stay together until their children were out of school.
So he lived in separate rooms.
When did your romantic...
But he was still doing his thing.
...relationship mm-hmm. with Ms. Willis begin?
2022.
When? In 2022.
Early 2022.
That would have been after he was hired by Willis to manage the racketeering case against Donald Trump and others. Wade said the two didn't travel together before then, and they roughly split vacation expenses, with Willis paying him back in cash.
You don't have a single...
That don't even sound right.
Mm-mm.
So let me see if they get into it. If not, I'll
see. Solitary deposit slip to corroborate or support any of your allegations that you were paid by Mrs. Willis in cash, do you? No, sir. Not a single solitary one. Not a one.
Willis confirms she reimbursed Wade in cash, explaining her father always advised her to keep 6 months cash on hand since she's a single woman.
I don't know why this old black man feels like that, but he does. When we were growing up, my daddy had three safes in the house. So my father's bought me a lockbox, and I always keep cash in the house.
Defense attorneys argue Willis only hired...
So she would, he would use his card to, you know, pay for the trips and everything, and she said she would pay him back in cash. So if they're together, why is she paying him back on a trip? So in other words, she like damn near paid for the trip.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make any sense.
Wade, paying him more than $650,000.
And here this guy's making damn near over $250,000 a year, and she's got to reimburse him back. That don't make any sense.
$1,000 so far, so she could get a financial
benefit. It just sounds strange. This whole thing just sounds strange. Everybody needs to be let go.
Because it's probably stolen money. She's trying to cover it and say, I had the money in a safe at home. It's not coming from, you know, whatever political money fund or whatever.
Right.
Benefit from all those trips. They also challenged the timeline.
Lost some weight from that picture they just showed her to now.
Calling Robin Yerdy, a former DA office staffer who considered herself a good friend of Willis. Yerdy resigned in lieu of being fired in 2022. She said she saw Willis and Wade kissing and hugging as far back as 2019. Trump attorney Steve Sadow pressed her.
Are you certain that Ms. Willis told you about the romantic relationship with Mr. Wade prior to November 1st of 2021?
Yes.
But her old boss...
I believe that Nathan was trying to get in her pants too. So Fonnie was like, oh, I got to get her out the picture. Her and Fonnie was cool with each other. But when Nathan tried to get in her pants, then Fonnie stepped in and then fired her.
Defiant. Because before she got fired.
3 months of 2021 when I could still enjoy my home. Mr. Wade never came to South Fulton, and it is certainly a lie that he lived with me.
He didn't live with her, but he stayed over there a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because he having problems in his marriage or whatever. They probably living in separate rooms or whatever. And he probably just stayed over there while they was going through his divorce. Come on now. Of course he didn't live there, but he stayed over there a lot.
Now, she talked a little bit more about that cash. She said that she actually treated Nathan Wade to a birthday trip, a 50th birthday trip to Belize, one that cost about $4,000. She said she brought that amount of cash with her. She gave him $2,500 to reimburse him for some of the expenses he originally paid. And then she used $1,500 for other expenses there on that trip.
I don't believe that. Something is up to there.
Stealing money.
So it's his 50th birthday. Okay, let's just say she did a nice thing. I mean, they both have money. $4,000 ain't much to her. Now, let's say she did a nice thing to take him to Belize for his 50th birthday, and it cost $4,000. Why does she have to reverse him money back? Okay, he spent a little money, had a little money in his pocket or whatever. Why she got to give him money back? That don't sound right to me.
No one has any receipts to back that up. She is continuing to testify right now. Judge Scott McAfee is hoping to get through her testimony today, and the hearing will continue tomorrow. Reporting live outside the Fulton County Courthouse, Randy Travis, Fox 5 News.
Randy, this has been just riveting testimony today. Very, very tough to turn away from. What happens next with this case? Where does it go from here?
Well, of course, Judge McAfee has to decide whether the conflict of interest was so egregious that Fonnie Willis and perhaps even the entire Fulton County DA's office needs to be removed from the case. He said earlier that he's only looking at a couple of issues here. One is when the relationship started. Was it before or after Nathan Wade was hired to be a special prosecutor? And the more important of the two is whether she financially benefited from that relationship. She has testified under oath, so has Nathan Wade, that she really didn't benefit from it, that they roughly split these vacation expenses. And without any other evidence, it'll be interesting to see what the judge decides to do.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like the defense attorneys right now trying to hone in on whether or not that can be proven that she did reimburse him with cash payments. Randy, thanks.
All right, so the next report, the next video is her on a stand. We back at court again. And he's a little soft nigga. He likes wine, but I prefer Grey Goose. Listen to this.
Much less cash that time, probably $400 or $500. And then I paid for a bunch of stuff. I think we did two different wine tours that you do, which are pretty expensive. I think I bought him. He likes wine. I don't really like wine, to be honest with you. I like Grey Goose. I bought him a bottle of wine while we were there, and the sippings that you do. I can't remember how many, like four or five different places you go. I remember we went to this place that they do pairings. That was the most expensive thing that I think that we did while we were there. So they would pair they would pair champagne, chocolate, and caviar. It was a three, and it was like three different things: Sweden, Russia, someplace else. I'll make that up. But that was the most expensive thing we did that trip, and I paid for that.
You pay cash
for us doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think
that doesn't sound right to me. Well, here's the next. We still in court now. Here's the next one where she doesn't believe in emasculating a black man. But listen to what she said in court. Now, this is in court, public, and this is live on via satellite or cable television. Listen to what she said.
Very limited contact because Mr. Wade had a form of cancer that makes your allegations somewhat ridiculous.
I do appreciate the characterization.
I'm not going to emasculate a black man, but I'm just telling you.
I'm sorry, what?
You just did, ma'am, but here we go.
I'm not going to emasculate a black man. Did you understand that?
All right, let's get back on track. Mr. Sadow, next question.
Trying to, Your Honor. Would you tell us on the occasions...
Why does the court need to hear that he has a cancer, which I'm assuming is prostate cancer, and he has...
It sounds like she threw it out there. So I don't know. Like,
right, that's what I mean. And he has erectile dysfunction. First of all, I don't even believe that anyway, because they're going on all these trips. He's staying at her house, and they ain't doing anything. I don't believe that.
Sound like bullshit.
Okay, now we still at court now. Now, this is her father. Her father's name is John Clifford Floyd III. He's a lawyer also, and he was a Black Panther member back in the day. Now, listen to what the prosecutor asked him.
When did you learn that your daughter had a romantic personal relationship with Mr. Wade?
Well, about 7 weeks ago when it, as a matter of fact, I...
He's smooth because I would have said, yeah, I would have said, like, what business is that? Like, that woman is not going to walk up to him and say, yeah, but guess who I'm fucking? Man, he tearing my ass up. Come on now. A parent ain't going to know anything like that. What she doing in her private life?
I just found out when other folks found out. Okay.
That is, your daughter, as I understand it, never told you one time in the year of 2022. That she was dating Mr. Wade, correct?
That's correct.
And why do I need to hear what my daughter is doing?
That's stupid.
Until recently, you didn't know from anyone, including your daughter, that she dated Mr. Wade, correct?
That's correct.
That is, whatever the relationship is between father and daughter, she kept that a secret from you, correct?
Correct.
It's not a secret. That's not her, that's her business. That don't have anything to do with him. Boy, I'd have been livid if I was him, but he stays strong. Shout out to him. Shout out to Mr. Floyd III. I would have been livid. Like, when the hell, like, she gonna walk in, Dad, give a guess who I'm fucking. Who? I'm fucking Nathan. What, for real? So what y'all doing? Oh, man, we just laying up. Oh, you know, he has a ED, so, you know, we have to, like, sometimes he's hot and sometimes he's not.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, at the time when she's telling her father this, he's already laying on the ground about to suffer a stroke because no father won't hear anything like that. That don't make no sense. Oh, man, I'd have been pissed. All right, so we going to New York, where feds make dozens of bribery arrests related to New York City public housing contracts. Boy, everybody got a scheme with them. Here's the report.
Dozens of city employees arrested in a massive bribery investigation. NYCHA workers accused of taking millions of dollars from contractors in exchange for awarding projects. Good evening, I'm Dick Brennan.
And I'm Dana Tyler. The bribery case involves 70 current and former NYCHA employees. All but four of them are being held on $50,000 bond tonight.
Prosecutors say it's the largest single-day bribery takedown in the history of the Justice Department. CBS 2's Jennifer Bisram joins us live from the courthouse with more. Jen.
Hi, Dick and Dana. 70 NYCHA employees, both former and current, were arrested and charged with extortion and bribery today. Officials say that they collected over $2 million in bribery money. Now, 66 of the 70 were arraigned here at federal court today, and each of them were released on a $50,000 bond, but had to hand over their passports.
That's classic pay to play. And this culture of corruption at NYCHA ends today.
It was a 70-person takedown by the feds. Officials say all NYCHA superintendents and assistant superintendents.
The 70 defendants charged today allegedly used their jobs at NYCHA to line their own pockets.
Now, who didn't tow? Who the first person they tow?
The 70 were arrested Tuesday morning.
Motherfucker that came up short.
Yep.
In several cities, including New York City, New Jersey, Connecticut, and North Carolina, for allegedly accepting cash payments from contractors in exchange for awarding NYCHA contracts. Officials say they required contractors to either pay up front or after in order to be awarded the contracts, anywhere from $500 to $2,000, over $2 million in corrupt payments from contractors in total.
The conduct as
and that's some easy money for the contractors, because that's from the city, so you don't never have to worry about them not paying you and all that type of stuff.
Alleged drove.
Oh, those people, the workers, the housing workers, they was making some good money doing that.
Up the cost of this kind of work, and
and you know those contractors, they'd be willing to pay, because shit, that's like easy money. I don't never had to worry about, oh, I pay you this much this time, and I'll pay you this much the other time.
Valuable public funds away from public housing and into the pockets of corrupt NYCHA staff.
Officials say briberies occurred in nearly 100 developments in the five boroughs. That's nearly a third of all NYCHA buildings.
It's very sad that that's happening, though, in the city.
We can't have honest people working for us.
Shit. Okay.
At a news conference Tuesday.
You sure know how to find them, boo. Street interviews, they crack me up with the people they interview.
Yeah, I'm so shocked. Is it any honest people working? No.
Department of Investigation laid out recommendations for NYCHA.
They focus on reform of the micro purchase process to protect it from abuse while maintaining efficient service for NYCHA residents.
NYCHA also released a statement that reads in part, "These actions are counter to everything we stand for as public servants and will not be tolerated in any form." We're told the first investigation started back in 2013, and now 50 current and 20 former NYCHA employees are facing federal charges.
As investigators uncovered more evidence and information about the investigation, one subject led to another subject.
Just like we said, somebody told.
This shit goes on in every city in the United States. They just don't get court. It's kind of like Goodfellas when what's the dude named Maury? He said, "Look, I still ain't get my money. We got you, we got you, man. Everybody spending money. I ain't get my money yet." That's the nigga that's gonna tell.
Yep.
And officials say all the repair work and construction that was supposed to be done at those NYCHA buildings were actually completed. But officials believe that more illegal activity.
Well, we just said that they're going to do the job because that's easy money.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't scamming anything like that, but they're going to pay that little extra money to get that contract.
Going on for years.
Right. They're going to do the work. I don't even know why she even had to say that.
At NYCHA buildings, and they're asking New Yorkers, if you know anything, report it right away. We're live in Lower Manhattan tonight. Jennifer Bisram, CBS 2 News.
Thank you, Jen. And to read the full complaint and watch the entire news conference.
All right. Now, in our next report, we go on to Miami Beach, North Miami Beach, Florida. Now, we was just there when the old lady had tried to kill her husband because the old girlfriend from 60 years ago sent him a letter or a postcard, one or the other. Well, we back again at North Miami Beach, Florida, where a Postmates delivery driver who dropped their food in an apartment building shitted on a kitchen room floor.
God damn.
Here's the report.
And now to shocking video you'll only see on 10.
I was watching this video at work, and I'm like, well, what the hell's going on? Then I couldn't believe it.
Driver dropping off more than just food.
Cameras caught him taking off his clothes and defecating in the lobby. Local 10's Rosh Lowe is live in North Miami Beach with the exclusive. Rosh.
This is one bizarre story, everyone, and it certainly is not appetizing. You know, we all like to order out food. In this case, Valentine's Day, someone orders a large order. This guy comes in, and then the next thing you know, he is relieving himself, defecating in the kitchen downstairs in this apartment building. It's all-
Florida's got to be a damn weird place. It's got to be.
How is he even in the kitchen? I don't understand the story.
Yeah, maybe he just walked in there. I don't know.
Well, if he walked in there, then he could have just went to the bathroom.
Yeah, that's what they were. That's what the people were saying. He could have just used the bathroom. Well, here we go.
All caught on camera, and now the police are involved.
Talk about a special delivery. No, not the food. Something else.
He went ahead and went to the lobby and defecated on the floor.
Defecated? How shocked were you when you saw that video?
It was unreal.
We have four bathrooms. You can use it. It's open. Why do it on the floor?
So look at this guy. He's delivering food to a North Miami Beach apartment.
He been holding that shit all day long. He had to go.
He leaves it at the door, but he's about to leave something else downstairs that truly has left residents.
Hey, he had them bubble guns.
You can see this guy on video, Clark.
Hey, he got to take it. He got to take his own.
That's the good one.
Off his shirt. Pretty shocking.
Very, very shocking. It shouldn't be. It's not right.
And the bathrooms were open.
Bathrooms are open. There's toilet paper. There is soap. There's hands. Everything. He decides to do it on the floor. Right in the kitchen.
He heads to the kitchen where he does the deed. North Miami Beach police.
They pour rice over top of it? What are they doing? Just clean it up. Why you gonna dump a bag of rice on top of it?
And we're told our handling this case is a criminal mischief case. Add to that the sanitary dangers.
I couldn't believe it.
Residents simply grossed out as they opened the door to the kitchen. This guy cooking up something truly disgusting. But cops on
look at
his
him
tail as he leaves behind a trail.
Boy, he just walking with an extra pepper to step down.
Well, and see, there's a lot of videos on YouTube like this where people wearing skirts and people wearing shorts and you see shit just falling out their leg like that. Like, how is that even possible? Like, you don't wear no drawers and you just shitting and walking. Ain't your butt going itch and be having mud butt and matted all to it? Like, what the hell's going on? He walking like he cool like that, just dropping shit as he go.
Evidence.
Oh, shit.
Nasty bastard.
Pretty bizarre. Now, that's listen, Florida. We all have bathroom emergencies, right? But in this case, what the residents are saying and the people who run this apartment complex, there were open bathrooms here downstairs this guy could have used and instead is caught on camera there.
He probably it's uncomfortable. No. He probably uncomfortable being at a public bathroom. That's why he didn't want to use the bathroom.
Man, that's some bullshit. The same way he fucking uncomfortable, he's shitting in the kitchen on the floor. He could have shitted in the bathroom.
Leaving a bunch of evidence, as I mentioned, and residents
and dropping
were
that
so
shit
all
down the hall, too. The fuck is wrong with him?
Yep.
Dusted this morning when they went into the kitchen and found what they found. In the meantime, North Miami Beach Police.
Is the kitchen like a cafeteria, a public cafeteria?
That's what I don't
area?
Understand. I don't understand how it is an apartment complex, but you got a kitchen with everybody access to.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's maybe like a cafeteria and they got, you know, cafeteria stuff. Maybe they might have a little refrigerator or something like that in there. I don't think it's a kitchen. Because if it's a kitchen down there, then somebody should be, they should be paying somebody there to be cooking meals and all that stuff. Be get some extra money from them, from the residents.
They have opened up an investigation, and I'll have more for you tonight at 5:30. For now, I'm live in North Miami Beach, Rosh Low, Local 10 News.
God damn, man. Shh. You can reach the Judge Mentals on Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and subscribe to our YouTube at PNL Judgmentals, Instagram at the_judgmentals, or you can email us at pnljudgmentals@gmail.com. Sorry, Foo.
All right, y'all.
You can check the status on my level, not my Facebook. Comments on my photos, that's why I stay on the low. Most of y'all is associates, so I be on my dolo. Hold up, walk that, whoa, hold the phone. You think all I do is rap? I can do it on my own. That's why I produce the track. Don't wonder where my crew is at. They'll be back. Niggas see me walking on the